everyone, and welcome back to Tell My Story, the podcast where we highlight the often overlooked experiences of all frontline workers. Normally, you'd be hearing from me, Halima, but this week we decided to change things up a bit and get one of our volunteers, Cindy, to speak to a small business owner. So now let's pass it on to Cindy.
I'm your host, Cindy Sito, and today we're here with Gisela Chung, who is the owner of Chung's Taekwondo and Martial Arts and an owner of a software company. Gisela, thank you for joining us here today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
To start off, Gisela had to temporarily close down her Taekwondo gym and just recently reopened to have in-person classes. In addition, her software company has helped her mitigate the risks of the virus with contactless attendance. I would also like to acknowledge that many small businesses that didn't have enough cash flow to cover their expenses during the closure have unfortunately gone out of business. And those that have been able to are still facing difficult times as many people are still afraid to go out to higher risk areas of infection. So Gisela, with all the sudden mandatory closures of non-essential businesses, how did you feel when the government ordered you to temporarily close down the Taekwondo gym?
Well, when we were ordered to close, we kind of expected that was going to happen. We just didn't know how long the closure was going to be for. So we were a little bit anxious at first. Initially, the closure was not as long, but then it kept getting extended and extended. And so the longer that the closure went on, the more anxious we were feeling because of the uncertainty of when we could open.
So were you significantly financially impacted by this?
Absolutely, of course. Since we had to close, we had to also put freezes on our memberships. And some people that were on a monthly payment, what we did was we were still collecting the payment, but their membership was on time freeze, so then their membership would be extended. And then for those members that were not able to make the financial commitment, we cancel their membership and then cancel their payment plan. So we were being pretty flexible and based on people's situation, but while also at the same time trying to maintain some cash flow so that we could still cover our expenses while we were closed.
Yeah, it's great that you had those options because I know that many families are struggling with debt right now and they can't pay their bills.
Well, that option was only available for some of our programs, not all of our programs. For example, for our after-school program, since we were not picking up kids, the schools were closed, those memberships we had to freeze completely and not collect the payments for those because we were not picking up anybody. And we would not be able to extend that membership because, I mean, if the school year ends in June, right, there's no option to extend further. So from April till June, we did not collect revenue from that program, which was a very significant financial loss. And then also our summer camp programs, we didn't run just because of the logistics, what we would be permitted to do, as well as decrease in demand. So we did not run that program. So that's another area where we lost revenue. So the only area that we were able to still maintain revenue was from our Taekwondo memberships, people that were paying monthly. And also we ran online classes, so people that wanted to sign up for online classes and they were expired, they could purchase for the online classes. So that was another revenue stream that we were able to maintain during the closure.
So can you please elaborate on how you came to the difficult decision on canceling your summer camp?
Well, we had a look at what was permitted in terms of running summer camp and what was not permitted. So when we looked at how we would run the camp, a lot of the activities we would not be able to do at that time. So in June, well, prior to June, it wasn't clear yet whether or not we were able to teach class yet. So it wasn't certain whether or not we could include that as part of summer camp activity. Secondly, a lot of the summer camp activities that we would do involves interaction amongst the kids when they're playing games, if they're doing a sport. So that would be something that they would not be able to do in summer camp, as well as the field trips. We would not be permitted to take the kids on field trips, which was another big component of our summer camp. because out of the 5 days, 4 days of the five, they would go on an outing. So without the field trips and without being able to teach Taekwondo during camp, well, initially we weren't sure whether or not we would be permitted to, and then later we were allowed to, but by then it was too late. And also not being able to do a lot of the activities that we normally do in camp, it didn't seem very feasible to run the camp. I mean, we could, but what would the kids be doing all day?
Yeah, that's right.
It didn't sound like a very fun camp to run. And secondly, we ran a survey, our members, to see if they were interested in having camp. Because of course, if people really wanted it, we would make it work somehow. We would come up with something, But we did a survey, and about 66% of the respondents said they did not want summer camp. So they were not interested in summer camp at all. So, when they had an overwhelming response of people not interested in camp, with the very limited programming that we could offer, and then also looking in terms of how many students we would be permitted to have during camp, it didn't seem like it would be worth it. So, for example, for the summer camp, originally you were only allowed to have, it was 9 kids with 1 adult, so it was up to 10 people in a room. So, and then later, I believe they extended it to 15 at some point during the summer, but even still with that extension, it financially didn't work in terms of how much revenue you would come in, you would get in, even if you sold out every spot. You would, minus your expenses of your staff as well as your additional expenses in terms of running the program, it wasn't beneficial economically. You would probably just be breaking even or barely making anything from it. So, and that's if you sold every spot. And given that we had almost 70% of our respondents saying they were not interested in camp, it was not likely we would sell every spot. So it didn't seem feasible to run camp for those reasons.
Yeah, I see that you did a lot of planning just to plan how the summer camp would run, but in the end you had to cancel it.
Well, normally summer camp, we start planning right after March break.
Yeah.
So that's how early we have to plan it. So usually right after March break, that's when we start booking all the field trips and planning the schedule, and we start advertising it. But since the closure happened during March break, we didn't start planning camp because we weren't sure if we would even be able to do it. And then secondly, since we were running the online classes as well, that would have been a challenge, having staff to run the online classes at the same time as having summer camp. Mm-hmm. That would have been another issue logistically, because then you would have too many people in the building. So yes. If you had your 9 kids and then the teacher, let's say you could sell out all the spots, and then having staff in another room running the online classes, you'd be over occupied in the building. So it, and also we would have to have more staff too, so to bring in.
So once the government began to allow more businesses to open up, what was it like opening up your gym again?
I will tell you this, waiting for that announcement that we could open was very nerve-wracking. Because every day I'd be listening to the press conferences, waiting for, an update of when. And then when we did get the word, Taekwondo Ontario, that they had reached an agreement with the ministry so that clubs can open, it was a bit of a relief, but also a little bit stressful at the same time, because then you have to face with reality of, okay, how are we going to do this safely? And and then also it's all of a sudden, now you have to get ready to open. But luckily, Taekwondo Canada and Taekwondo Ontario, prior to getting the okay from the ministry, they had prepared some guidelines in advance. And we had also been researching what other clubs in other parts of Canada were doing, as other provinces were able to open sooner. So we were able to contact other clubs to see what measures they were putting in place for their reopening. So that was helpful, so that we can actually see what works and what didn't work for some people, etc.
So if one of your students or staff members contracted the virus, how would you keep track of who they were in contact with to prevent the spread?
Well, the software that we use for attendance is actually very helpful. It's actually an all-in-one platform. So it does attendance, it does messaging, payments, etc. And so every time somebody comes in and checks in, the system date and time stamps when they come. We'll have a list of who came when at what time. And we can even look at the attendance records for each day, each month, and we can also see hour by hour as well. So let's say if we were contacted and then by one of our members saying so-and-so was sick, I can just search that member's name and it'll pull all the records of when they came. So I would know exactly which days, which classes, what time that person attended class. And I could also pull who else was in that same class at the same time on that day. And then that way I can prepare all that contact information for public health unit and also send out notices as well to our members.
So what was the most difficult part of managing the Taekwondo gym during this pandemic?
The most difficult part? Well, you know, I would say just managing your own stress personally, because the whole period is you're just a ball of nerves the whole time, and the waiting and the uncertainty. But I mean, to be honest, during this whole period, you just kind of have to evolve and go with it. So as long as you're staying up to date with what's going on, which means you're constantly checking the government websites for any updates and listening to the press releases and to see how that affects your business, and then just evolving and changing how you run things in accordance to it. So I guess one of the challenges is that you had to move fast when you can do something. So that's one thing. And surprisingly, another thing that has been challenging is finding the cleaning solution. Just because for the gyms, we have to use something that has a neutral pH. And I mean, I was able to find one, which was great. We bought it, we used it, went to go reorder, and they were out of stock for months. So then you have to go research another one that has a low pH with a DIN number that kills coronavirus, you know, that doesn't damage the mats, etc. So luckily I was able to find another one, and now that one's discontinued. So when I run out again, I'll have to research another cleaning product.
Yeah, that sounds tough.
I think a lot of people are having the same problem. So as soon as you find something that works, then it's either out of stock or you can't get it, and whatever. So you're like back to square one. But anyhow, but luckily we're good now. I mean, I found something else. So, you know, so far so good.
So do you feel that you have a better understanding of how to run your business now that you have faced all these challenges?
I would say that, I mean, going through this, you come up with different ideas of how to run your business. I mean, your experience always counts for something, right? So we've been in business for like 12 years, you know. But then again, I mean, I've heard of other clubs that have been open just as long as us, and they've gone under. So I guess so. I mean, I don't want to sound too confident, because I still worry about another wave coming. And, you know, if that does happen, that's going to be another hurdle. So, I mean, we did get some learnings from this experience in terms of what things we will change. I mean, for example, we kind of changed some programs, our membership offerings, just to be in line with the pandemic. For example, previously, you know, most of our memberships were unlimited. But now that we're open during this COVID times, we have to limit the number of people in class. So it's not to our advantage to sell unlimited memberships, because it's not likely that you can accommodate people every day of the week. Or even if you did, it wouldn't be fair to other people that are, you know, let's say they're signed up for 2 days a week, right? And they can only come Tuesday, Thursday. And then somebody who's unlimited, who comes every day and takes up all the spots, and, you know. So we've kind of had to change how we are offering memberships, etc. So that's one of the learnings that came out of it. But I mean, if it wasn't COVID, we would there would be no issue with having unlimited memberships. So, like I said, you just kind of have to evolve with the situation and roll with it, you know, adapt to the new normal, as they say.
Yeah, exactly. So, do you think you would be prepared to close down the gym if another global emergency were to happen?
Well, I mean, really wouldn't be up to us if there is another emergency closure. I mean, we have no choice but to close. But we would definitely feel a little bit more prepared in terms of running our online program. There is still a demand for it. So, I mean, if we did have to close, we'd have some preparedness in terms of how to continue operations in some parts of our business. So a little bit, but still, you just never know. You don't know how the next wave is going to happen, right?
Yes. So do you think people misunderstand the challenges faced by small business owners?
I think for the most part, people are pretty understanding, I think. I mean, we haven't really received a lot of pushback from people. I think most of our members understand our situation just like we understand their situation, and they kind of they get it, right? So, but in terms of the general public, I haven't really experienced a lot of negativity. Most people seem to be cooperating. That's just my experience.
So do you have any additional comments or opinions to say to other small businesses in this community?
One thing that we've definitely learned from this experience is when business owners collaborate with other business owners, it's to everyone's advantage. So it's very helpful when different business owners share ideas as opposed to viewing everyone as competitive. I mean, yes, you are in competition, but we're also in this global pandemic together. So sometimes sharing what works and what doesn't work can really make a difference to, you know, helping another business survive. So I would say definitely share your ideas. Don't be so afraid to share. I mean, we're all in it together. So if we work together, I think we have a better chance of getting through it on the other side.
Absolutely. Well, I'll have to conclude our conversation today. Thank you, Gisella, for joining us today and sharing your experiences as a business owner of both your companies.
Oh, thank you. No problem.
I know it's been tough managing your businesses during these unprecedented times, but I'm glad to hear that you're taking the precautionary measures to keep everyone safe.
Well, you know, we're definitely trying. We're all trying to do our part, you know.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this podcast. And don't forget to tune in next week to hear about our next frontline worker.